Good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas. On the red Bibles in front of you, if you prefer to look at that, it's page 725 on most of the red Bibles. We're reading this morning from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Folks, let's bow in prayer, and as we come to think about the passage that was read to us earlier. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity we have this morning to think about the meaning of Christmas. And we thank you for Jesus and for all that he's done for us. We just pray now that you would help us to focus and to think about you, and by your word and spirit that we would be changed in our thinking and changed in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In London on September the 10th this year, outside St. James's Palace, there was a grand scene. It was a scene of pageantry with officials parading in medieval robes and soldiers donning ceremonial uniforms with the fanfare of trumpets and a 21-gun salute on the nearby River Thames, because the senior herald had an announcement to make. When in rather formal language, he proclaimed that Prince Charles had become king. Now, there was no surprises in that, was there? But what happened next kind of surprised me, when this senior herald seemed to sort of let loose and he called out three cheers for the king. And then the soldiers of the king's guard lifted their tall bearskin hats right off their heads and three times shouted, "Hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray." Did you see that? I mean, these soldiers, they are famous for standing like statues, for showing zero emotion whatsoever, even when annoying tourists are taking selfies with them. And here they were. I guess this was their version of unrestrained exuberance in a very British kind of way. Because a joyful announcement had been made. Did you know that Christmas is about an announcement? An announcement which, for the past two millennia, has filled countless people with joy, with real joy. An announcement made not by a messenger from a palace, but by a messenger from heaven. And not to an expected crowd in a world city, but to an unsuspected group of shepherds outside the somewhat insignificant town of Bethlehem. Although Bethlehem, because of this announcement, was about to become very significant indeed. And Bethlehem was the family, the original family hometown of a man by the name of Joseph, who, as a carpenter, now lived in the city of Nazareth. But together with Mary, Joseph had made a trip back to the family hometown of Bethlehem. Now, it's easy for us to think of these events of the very first Christmas as a little bit like a nice fairy tale, a fable that, to make us kind of feel good at the end of every year. But the Bible passage which was read to us earlier by actually a multitude of people, and thanks guys for getting involved in that Bible reading, it actually anchors the first Christmas in history, where in verse 1 of the passage, that's the first sentence in the passage that's printed for you on your sheets there, in verse 1 we are told that Caesar Augustus was at that time the emperor of Rome, which was the largest empire that the world had ever seen. And it cost a lot of money to run an empire, which is why the Romans collected taxes. One of their annual taxes was an annual flat rate of one denarius per person from everybody in the empire. And of course, for the sake of budgeting, the Roman accountants, they therefore needed to know, well, how many people are there in the empire? Which is why Caesar had declared that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. It comes down to something as boring as taxes and budgeting. Now, you and I, we're used to census papers being delivered to our homes and filling them in and sending them off in the mail, or just getting online and sorting them out that way. But in Joseph and Mary's day, particularly where they lived in Israel, everyone had to do the census in the family hometown, the original hometown, which is why Joseph did the trip to Bethlehem, and he did so with Mary, who was heavily pregnant at the time. And you've got to wonder, why would he take Mary in her condition on such an uncomfortable journey? It actually wasn't necessary for Mary to go there. Why would he do that? Well, in verse 5, we're told that although Mary was pregnant, Joseph and Mary were not married. And this was a huge issue, especially since Joseph knew that he had not slept with her. At first, Joseph, when Mary was obviously pregnant, he concluded quite naturally that she had been unfaithful to him. Until early on in the pregnancy, an angel revealed to Joseph that this baby was special, very special, for the baby had been conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, obviously, not everyone around would understand that or even believe that, especially when Mary gave birth, which may at least partly explain why Joseph brought her with him to Bethlehem, which is where the baby was born, and where the census was creating an economic boom, particularly in the hospitality industry. And there was no vacancies to be found in town. I guess it'd be a bit like turning up in Port Macquarie tomorrow for your holiday without making a booking first. Fat chance of getting anywhere to stay. And so Mary gave birth not in the comfort of a guest house, but in the stench of a cow shed. Friends, this birth was anchored in history, with real people, in a real empire, with a real Caesar, and a real miracle. But why is this birth so important, even for us, for you and for me? Well, sometimes it pays to listen to announcements, doesn't it? You know, one of my favourite Christmas carols is Silent Night. Are we singing that today, guys? No, we're not singing it today. Next year, maybe. But when you think about it, for the shepherds that were outside Bethlehem looking after their sheep, there was nothing silent about this particular night. I mean, it might have started off as just another quiet night in the fields, but those fields were about to erupt in an unsurpassed display of glory. As in verse 8, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Why? Because an announcement was about to be made. An announcement which would be good news of great joy for all people. But by the way, it was not an announcement proclaiming that there would be a public holiday from here on in. We Australians, we love public holidays, don't we? We are the land of the long weekend. And in terms of public holidays, does it get any better than Christmas Day? No, it doesn't. Christmas Day is a day which is kind of full of joy for many of us. There's a lot of joy about Christmas Day, the joy of families coming together, the joy of giving and receiving presents, the joy of eating too much, and the joy that for one day we can kind of stop dwelling on the problems of the world and the problems of our lives. Just one day. One day. Because we all know that this world is not right. The wars, the conflicts, the selfishness which fill our news feeds every day, they just scream loudly to us that this world is not as God intended. But it's not just our news feeds, is it? An honest look at our own lives can be a helpful reality check. A reality check which tells us that our thoughts, that our words, that our actions don't always please God. Problem is that we tend to live lives maybe believing God but kind of ignoring him. And because we'd rather live our lives in a way that suits us rather than in a way that suits our Creator. And in doing so, we actually become part of the human problem. It's this attitude of ignoring God, which the Bible calls sin, and it's not good for others around us. It's not even good for ourselves, not in this life and not in the next. For because of our sin, the Bible says that we all deserve the judgment of God. Now, this is a grim picture, isn't it? For all of us and for our future. But on that dark night, those fields outside Bethlehem, were they lit up? Not with the fanfare of trumpets, but with the glory of the Lord, as the messenger from God proclaimed that in Bethlehem a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. A Saviour. A Saviour for us. This week, my heart was moved by the story of those four university students who had gone paddleboarding at a beach on Port Phillip Bay. Did you read about that? Yeah, they were celebrating the end of the semester. Just four friends out doing a simple thing like paddleboarding, and then getting caught in a current and being dragged well and truly away from that beach, 20 kilometres away. And adrift through the cold of the night in the water, they were helpless. They were starting to think about the things in life that they regretted. They were starting to think that this was the end for them. They were helpless and they were desperate for someone to come and save them, until they actually drifted to an island. They called it a Christmas miracle. They needed a saviour. Friends, you and I, we need a saviour as well. I need a saviour. You need a saviour. To save us not from some physical danger, although he may do that, but to save us from the judgment for our sin. Now, of course, it's hard to imagine a little baby in a manger saving anybody from anything, isn't it? But this was no ordinary baby. Miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was God's son, Jesus, who as an adult, 33 years later, was arrested. Arrested on false charges, for he had done nothing wrong, put on trial, and then executed on a Roman cross. Jesus did not deserve to die, yet it was God the Father's will for him to suffer. For as Jesus died, he took upon himself the guilt and the penalty for our sin, for your sin and for mine, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be made right with God as if we'd never sinned. Today, declared the angel, on that very first Christmas, a saviour has been born. But as we celebrate his birth today, it's worth asking the question, well, is he our saviour? Is he your saviour? Because we all have a decision that we need to make. We can say, well, actually, no thanks. I don't really think I need a saviour, or I don't really want a saviour. I'd rather just keep on living my life the way I have been doing so. I guess that's one option, but it's an option which involves paying for your own sin. Or we can grab hold of that salvation by trusting that Jesus has paid for our sin, and with thanks, making a fresh start with God by loving and obeying him because of what he's done for us in Jesus. Hip, hip, hooray, those guards with the tall bearskin hats shouted out. I wonder what the hip, hip, hooray moments in life are for you. A birthday, a graduation, a wedding. Some of the students here might think a good ATAR result from the HSE. That's a hip, hip, hooray kind of moment, isn't it? And actually, it kind of seemed a little bit awkward to me when I saw these soldiers in the furry hats shouting that out. And all of that, well, it's just short-term joy anyway, isn't it? But the good news announced by the angel is news which leads to great joy, the joy of forgiveness, the joy of peace with God, and that's joy which lasts forever. 2,000 years ago, an announcement was made about a birth so important that we have gathered here today to celebrate it. The birth not just of a baby, but of a saviour who can change lives, even your life, even today. The angel made an announcement. We all need to make a decision. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for Jesus, that you sent him into the world, into our world, to become one of us and to grow and become a man who died on a cross for us. Father, we thank you that on that day in Bethlehem, a Saviour was born. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would make him our Saviour, so that we would have that joy which lasts forever, the joy of forgiveness and peace with you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.